as there are about close to 1,000 people here this morning, what would you say if I told you that because all these people showed up to synagogue, the stock market will rise? That the Sinai stimulus package is a true reflection of how religion works. You come to shul, your money multiplies. You stay home, or even worse, you go to work, the bottom falls out of the market. The fact that you laugh at that means that on some level you know the world doesn't work that way, and yet if you read the Torah portion this morning, Ekev Tishmerun, if you listen, you'll hear a baby. But if you listen to God, you'll do what God says and you'll succeed. And we see this again and again. The book of Devarim of Deuteronomy is full, as is the entire Torah, of such admonitions. Moshe tells the people, you go into the land, you're going to do bad things, terrible things are going to happen to you, but if you repent and you do good, the rain will fall, the crops will grow, the land will be yours, and God will love you. And there is a part of us that clings to this rationale and believes it. We especially believe it, by the way, when something goes wrong. It's because I didn't, and then you can fill in the blank. Because I didn't go to synagogue, because I didn't fast on Yom Kippur. We all want to find that rationale. But I want to suggest to you this morning that the Torah's educational philosophy makes more sense than that. Because after all, since the Torah was written, people have known that the world doesn't work that way. The ancient Israelites knew that. They knew that sometimes you follow the commandments and things go very badly. And sometimes you break the commandments and the market goes up. So how do you figure this out? Well, first of all, you understand that this is an educational incentive. It's what we do with our children. Remember in Cheder in Eastern Europe, when they would teach the children the alphabet, they would smear honey on the letters. So children would learn that learning is sweet. But by the time the kid reached fifth grade, they didn't smear honey on the letters anymore. Because the whole idea of the Torah's philosophy is you promise rewards until rewards aren't why you do it. In fact, sometimes you can be punished by rewards. That's the title of a book written by an educational theorist named Alfie Cohn some years ago, in which he points out that they did experiments with children where they asked them to play with their favorite toy. And then they started to pay the kids to play with their favorite toy. And guess what happened? In short order, they didn't want to play with that toy anymore. Because you destroy the intrinsic, the inside, the self-motivated reward by making it external. Very soon, if I tell you, come to synagogue and we'll give you $100, you'll feel that it cheapens coming to synagogue. That somehow it's been made into some commercial transaction and it no longer has the soul-fulfilling qualities that it is supposed to have when you do it because you want to do it. So you start off with that reward, but in time you hope that people gradually come to the point where they do it for its own sake. When we say, why do bad things happen to good people? I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's say good things happen to good people and bad things only happen to bad people. Next time you steal, you get a disease. 100%. Would anybody steal? Of course not. But why wouldn't you steal? Not because stealing is wrong. Not because you think inside of yourself, I don't want to be this kind of person, but because you don't want to get a disease. In other words, we have taken away the possibility of being good by rewarding you. Because you can only be good if you do it without knowing what will happen. Goodness is acting good no matter what the consequences are. If every time you're good, God rewards you, that's not good anymore. It's smart, it's prudent, it's an excellent investment, but it's not goodness. That's why the rabbis say, schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is what? Mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah. You can do a really good deed, and bad things will still happen to you. But you have the mitzvah. That is both the deed and the reward. So you may know the story, which I hope is true. I don't know if it's true or apocryphal, but you may know the story of Mother Teresa, who was tending the wounds of a leper, and someone saw her doing it and said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. To which she answered, neither would I. Because if the reward of a mitzvah is a check, then it's no longer a mitzvah. I remember they told us in rabbinical school, one of those things that they tell you in rabbinical school that you don't believe. When you go out to raise money, you're doing the person a favor. You're enabling them to do a mitzvah, and believe me, in the end, they will feel good. To which we all said, yeah, right. Sure they will. We'll try that. And yet, in all the years that I've raised money for the synagogue and other Jewish causes, I never had someone come back to me and say, you know, I feel really bad that I gave you that money. It's a remarkable thing. Never, not once, did someone come back and say, I wish I hadn't given you the money. Because schar mitzvah is mitzvah, because the sense of doing something good is deeper and more lasting and more powerful than, gee, my bank balance could have been here instead of here. There's a story about the Baal Shem Tov. It's a longer story. I'll cut to the chase. That through a series of circumstances, he found out, this is the founder of Hasidism, the great tzaddik, he found out that he lost the world to come. He no longer was going to get to go to whatever Olam Haba is, and he began to dance. And they said to him, why are you happy? You just lost the world to come. And he said, because now I know when I do something good, I'm doing it for its own sake, and not because I want to get into the world to come. So you shouldn't worry, at the end of the story he gets it back, but still. But the point is made that Ekev Tishmarun is the beginning, but not the end. That goodness is something that has to come from inside ourselves. And it can't be a series of incentives or rewards or promises or presents. That's why it's good that we know that the Torah doesn't really fully mean it when it says, if you're good, you'll get rewarded. It's good that you laughed when I said, because you're in synagogue, the market's going to go up. It's the only way that we can be good in this world, is to realize that the promise of goodness is not a certainty and not a guarantee. that it is our job to try to make sure that goodness is rewarded in this world. That's what we do with each other, and that's what we do with our children. We say, look, when you're good, good will come to you, maybe not always, but certainly always from inside. You will know that you're good. God will know that you were good. As hard as it is to believe, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And you know, on Yom Kippur, there is that powerful prayer, the Unetana Tokef, where we talk about who will live and who will die, and then we say, but tefillah, tshuva, and tzedakah ma'avirin et ruach ha'gezerah, but tshuva, repentance, tzedakah, justice and charity, and tefillah, prayer, they avert the severity of the decree. What's the decree? The decree is death. Nobody gets out of it. But if you build a community and a life of goodness and people around you who recognize what you've done and a soul that understands that you've made a difference, then you move through the world with less fear. Not because you're going to be promised perfect health or perfect wealth, or that everyone around you will always treat you well, but because schar mitzvah mitzvah, because you will understand that you nourished your soul, that you grew it with goodness, that no matter the circumstances of life, Ekev Tishmarun, if you listen to God, your life will be good. When Avraham is about to die, God says, Berech Avraham Bakol, I blessed Abraham with everything. And yet, Abraham saw the disintegration of his family, the death of his wife, wandering, pain, as well as faith and the promise of the Jewish people. And so the rabbis tell us what it means is a good life is blessed with everything. Dark and light, pain and joy, evil and good. And in the end, schar mitzvah mitzvah. What you take with you are the mitzvot that you've done, the lives that you've touched, your connection to others, and your relationship of love with God. Shabbat shalom.